So I'm going to call the January 30th meeting of the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. It is 3:31 p.m. Apologize for the delay, but our bill sponsor was in another meeting, and so it made sense to make some time for him to be able to join us. Today, members in the committee, we've got Representative Knopp, Representative Birch, Representative Josephson, myself, Chair Keto, Vice Chair Wool, Representative Stutes, and Representative Sullivan Leonard, full committee today. Our support staff today is Caitlin Ellis, on our committee secretary, and we've got LIO moderator Ben Manley. Today we only have one item on the agenda. I'm not anticipating a long meeting. I am not anticipating that we will do deliberation or pass the bill out, but we'll hear all the information. My intent is to try and bring the bill back up again before the committee on Friday for action. For right now, what we will do is have the bill sponsor come forward and provide us a presentation on House Bill 18.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for giving me the opportunity today to present to you and to this committee House Bill 18. House Bill 18.
And Representative Ortiz, for the record, could you put your name and affiliation on the record?
My name is Representative Dan Ortiz. I represent District 36, Southern Southeast Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, in 2014, Ketchikan's Thomas Basin Harbor was surprised to find itself at the finish line of an unpowered boat race from the community of Port Townsend, Washington. There was a vessel race that finished in Ketchikan, Alaska. The vessels in the 750-mile marathon ranged from kayaks to tandem cycle pedal boats. The first team to arrive in that race was awarded a $10,000 prize. The second team to arrive usually, in the past, got such notable gifts as steak knives. But last year's organization got their prize from a local thrift store. I believe there's six corn on the cob holders, a curling iron, and six ski goggles were the coveted second prize in 2016. Mr. Chairman, our community has embraced the Race to Alaska, and the Ketchikan folks have joined in support of this race. Everyone who participates has a memorable experience in the beautiful waters of southern southeast Alaska. So H. Bill 18, Mr. Chairman, is in essence kind of like in the spirit of the 10 Knot Ice Classic. What it would do is it would set into place a opportunity for people to wager on who the first place finisher would be, their time, both day, hour, minute, and second of arrival. So it would be an opportunity for folks to wager on that particular event. And again, it's kind of like in the spirit of what's already taking place in Alaska, with the most notable being the Nanana Ice Classic. Mr. Chairman, I have this bill was put forward at behest of our Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce, and today I have at least three members of the Chamber of Commerce online, ready to give you a little bit more further detail as to what the idea of this particular bill is. The first being, Mr. Chairman, I believe it's Chelsea Goucher, who is the current president of the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce, if I'm not mistaken, or incoming president.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz, and we do, and I understand that Ms. Goucher has a flight to catch, so we'll go ahead and hear from her under invited testimony first. So would you want to stay at the table with us? So Ms. Goucher, can you provide your testimony whenever you're ready?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much to the entire committee for allowing me to go first. I do appreciate that, and thank you for hearing us out, as well as the sponsor of this bill. My name is Chelsea Goucher, and I am the current vice president of the Greater Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce. I also serve as president of the board for Southeast Conference, Southeast Alaska's EDA-designated economic development organization. I am currently employed as an account representative for Alaska Marine Lines, but in the past, I was employed by the Ketchikan Chamber as executive director. I held that position for 2 years, and I'm intimately acquainted with the Chamber's activities and its importance to the community of Ketchikan and surrounding areas. I'm sharing this testimony to express my wholehearted support for Representative Dan Ortez's proposed amendment to House Bill 18, an act relating to race classics. His amendment would allow the Greater Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce to raise monies by operating and administering a race classic with their gaming permit, as is currently done by the Seward Chamber with their Mount Marathon race classic. I support in full the letter of support submitted by Bill Swift, the current executive director, and I look forward to hearing his testimony later. And I have just a few points to add concerning the importance to Ketchikan of the monies that might be generated by hosting a race classic such as that provided for in House Bill 18. The Ketchikan Chamber has undertaken a wide variety of special projects in recent years, including but not limited to workforce development initiatives, economic and community development programs, fun community events such as the lighting of the town Christmas tree and the July 4th parade, employee wellness trainings, informational programs, networking events to encourage a vibrant economy, assistance to new and developing businesses, hosting special programs such as the Ketchikan Marine Industry Council, fostering the Ketchikan Young Professionals Network, and advocating for a sound business climate for Ketchikan and Southeast, both in Juneau and in Washington, D.C. These activities are self-funded by the Chamber. We rely very little on grant or government money and depend primarily on member dues and fundraisers to function. The Ketchikan Chamber is a diverse, nonpartisan organization and has truly helped to make a difference in our community. House Bill 18 would help us sustain these efforts and our ability to serve the community despite decreases in state and local funding around our town. In fact, a race classic would likely attract outside money as racers, their families and friends, sports fans, and residents of Port Townsend, the race's community of origin, vie for a chance to win the newest of race classics. Thank you for your time, and please consider adoption of House Bill 18 as amended. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Goucher. We do have a question for you from Representative Birch. Representative Birch.
I'm not aware that there, through the chair, I was not aware that this was a limitation. I mean, I thought we had race classics going all over the place and for various and sundry operations. And I'm kind of wondering if we shouldn't just make it more general. And if you were to hold this race classic and didn't get this statutory change, who would come and stop you? Through the chair.
It would be a violation of what we are allowed to do with our gaming permit per the tax division.
So, if by way of follow-up, so this is basically under the gaming commission, which is in revenue, I presume. So, I'm trying to figure out if somebody else wants to do a classic, if there's some way that, and you may not be familiar with this, but I'm just trying to understand if we can make this more general so the next race classic that is interested in being held, they don't have to do a specific change.
So, Representative.
Right, no, that completely makes sense, and I think sounds like a great idea. I'm sure that's something that DOR obviously would have to agree upon, because I know that the way our general gaming permit is now, we are not allowed to host this type of classic. We can do like a basic raffle, we can sell raffle tickets, we can do, you know, 50-50 raffles at chamber lunches, but a classic like the Mount Marathon Classic is not provided for in the current regulations for gaming permits.
Thank you.
So, Representative Burke, also, we do have the Department of Revenue here available to answer questions, and maybe we'll have them come up after invited testimony. We also have a question, Ms. Goucher, from Representative Stutes.
Thank you, and I'm not sure if this is for Ms. Goucher or for the representative. I'm curious as to how many years this has been going on already.
I believe the inception of the race was 2014.
Oh, so it's fairly recent. Thank you.
Sorry. So any other questions for Ms. Goucher? So it doesn't look like we have any other questions for Ms. Goucher. Thank you, Representative Ortez, for answering Representative Stutes' question. We'll go ahead and continue with invited testimony. Thank you, Ms. Goucher, for weighing in, and have a pleasant flight.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Next on the list, we do have two individuals from the Ketchikan LIO. So if Bill Swift could come to the microphone and place your name and affiliation on the record and begin your testimony.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Bill Swift. I'm the executive director of the Greater Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce. and I am testifying today to express the Greater Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce's unanimous support for the passage of House Bill 18 regarding race classics. The Greater Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce, as has been explained, is a nonprofit, member-driven community organization. We are dedicated to supporting Ketchikan businesses in the community that we serve. Representative Ortez did a nice job of giving you the background that highlights, you know, our surprise in 2015 that we found ourselves at the finish line of this exciting new unpowered boat race, the Race to Alaska. The participants making that 750-mile journey from Port Townsend, Washington, to Ketchikan. The first team to finish wins $10,000. You've got the other breakdown as far as the award system for that particular race. What we are seeking at the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce is to raise funds for local community projects, as Chelsea just outlined, and to increase the excitement around the Race to Alaska by starting a new community guessing game fundraiser similar to the Nanana Ice Classic. Participants would guess the time that the first contestant completes the race, and the person coming closest to that actual time would win the cash prize. The proceeds of this fundraiser would be used by the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce for the special activities, again, that Chelsea Goucher just outlined, and other new community projects, economic development that we're involved in, and helping to grow a new scholarship fund. The Chamber is a 501c6 nonprofit community organization made up of more than 250 members, mostly Ketchikan businesses. After conducting a good deal of research, we've determined that specific legislation authority is necessary, as we've just been discussed, and HB 18 would give the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce permission to conduct this charitable community fundraising based around the Race to Alaska. By including this event with the state's existing definition of race classics, House Bill 18 specifies that this event would be administered by the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce. The tradition of classics is a fun and common form of Alaskana. A great many nonprofit entities throughout Alaska have been given permission by the legislature to conduct these classic fundraisers. They are currently race classics. There are some there that have to do with dog mushers classics, rain classics, fish derbies, moose derbies, and even a goose and canned salmon classic. There's a strong precedent for the Chamber of Commerce organizations to host events of this type. Similar events are hosted by the Chamber of Commerce organizations for Juneau, Fairbanks, Kenai, Seward, Petersburg, Delta, and Big Lake. We know that the members of Alaska's legislature have very challenging decisions ahead during this session. We do thank you for taking the time to consider our requests for what we believe is a relatively small, albeit necessary, administrative change, which does not cost the state anything requiring legislative approval. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Swift. And it does look like we have a couple of questions for you. So, Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Swift, I just wanted to ask you a quick question. It's my understanding that the inception of this particular classic started in 2014, and I guess I'm just curious as to how successful you've been then in the last couple of years. Has it brought in revenue greater than 10,000, less than five, or how has it been for you?
Through the chair, we haven't calculated the exact economic activity around this classic. I was discussing with the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau last week, trying to get some tally on what this has meant in terms of stimulating activity in Ketchikan. Of course, we have cruise ships that time of year, and you know, a lot of folks are coming to follow this classic, and you know, to maybe stay in town, and maybe what we're hoping is stay longer and later. But we don't have an exact tally of the kind of impact that the race classic has, the Race to Alaska has had to this point.
Mr. Chair, if I could follow up, I'm just trying to calculate how it was for a benefit for the chamber itself, fiscally.
Well, to this point, it's not connected to gaming, you know. So the only benefit to the Ketchikan has been in stimulating the economy. The chamber has not benefited to this point.
Okay, very good. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We also have a question from Representative Birch.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Swift. Through the chair, would you have any objection or do you see any problems in just eliminating the statement where it says is limited to and just basically permit race classics to continue unabated through the state wherever and get the legislature out of the middle of this decision? Through the chair.
Mr. Chairman, we would have no objections. Those are details and procedural details that we would hope could be sorted out. You know, that we're just interested in this kind of fundraising.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Another question from Representative Wool.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, is there a formula for the fund disbursement? Obviously, it sounds like you're trying to raise money for the chamber, but also you want to increase the prizes for the participants. I'm assuming there's some kind of formula for this.
You know, through the chair, our formula in the past with our current gaming license number 115 is a 50-50 wrap, all those kind of things. So that is likely the formula that we would apply.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Swift? Seeing no questions, Mr. Swift, thank you for your testimony.
Oh, thank you.
We also have invited testimony from Jason Custer, also at the Ketchikan LIO. Mr. Custer, can you come forward to the microphone and place your name and affiliation on the record and begin your testimony?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jason Custer. I'm a Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce board member for 2014 through 2017, including the president last year, and I also serve as the business development director for Alaska Power and Telephone Company. I, along with other members of the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce board, fully support passage of House Bill 18. I fully agree with Mr. Swift's testimony and Ms. Goucher's testimony, and I wish to incorporate them into my own by means of reference. The Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce is perhaps the largest and the most diverse nonprofit organization in Ketchikan with over 200 members. Our members include individuals, businesses, nonprofit organizations, and local and tribal governments. We're a nonpartisan organization which works to promote a healthy and vibrant economy and a livable, sustainable community that families and businesses are proud to call home. The benefits of House Bill 18 to our organization and community would include providing a new source of locally generated revenue for community projects, which otherwise would not be present or possible. This is ever more important and meaningful to us, given the fact that state, local, and even federal grant and discretionary funds are in short supply. It would support community development and economic development activities and programs. House Bill 18 will help get Alaskans and residents of Ketchikan excited about contributing to community projects and initiatives, promoting a culture of community giving and self-sufficiency. Classics are a form of traditional Alaskana, which add to the fun and excitement of the event. And this initiative would not cost the state anything, but it creates a new source of funding for community initiatives. As has been stated, we're aware that there are numerous other Chamber of Commerce organizations around the state of Alaska that have been given the specific ability to administer similar programs, including in Juneau, Fairbanks, Petersburg, and Seward. And we're simply seeking the same opportunity to conduct this type of fundraising within our community. As has been stated, it's somewhat unusual that we would have to go to the length of approaching the legislature to make this change, but we've been told that's the case, and here we are. And while this may seem like a relatively modest request, especially with all the other important work that you all are doing this year, this is nonetheless important and meaningful to our community, especially with state and local grant funding decreasing, and funding for nonprofits and community activities particularly decreasing every year. Every new source of revenue for community projects is extremely important and welcome. Therefore, we ask that you please support House Bill 18.
Thank you, Mr. Custer, for your testimony. Do we have any questions for Mr. Custer? Thank you again. And I do see that we've got some people here from Department of Revenue, and it sounds like we might have some questions. So Deputy Commissioner Burnett or Ms. Mitchell, if you want to come forward and put your name on the record.
My name is Katrina Mitchell, and I'm the gaming manager for the charitable gaming section within the tax division.
Thank you, Ms. Mitchell, and welcome to House Labor and Commerce. Do you want to continue with your question, Representative Birch?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for being here this afternoon. This is relatively new to me, but I'm just looking at the language. I'm wondering why we have to put the good people in Ketchikan through this exercise, and if it wouldn't be possible, as long as we're here and doing the people's business, to modify the legislation where it says is limited to, just strike that and have it just be, you know, let race classics run amok all over the state. And what would be the downside of that, I guess, through the chair?
Sure. Through the chair. So there are several types of classics that are defined in the Charitable Gaming Act. Some classics are specific to specific organizations, like this race classic. Right now, that's just specific to the Seward Chamber. And other classics are wide open. How that came to be, I'm not sure. But for example, an animal classic means a game of chance in which prizes are awarded for blah, 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 involving a rat, a hamster, a gerbil. That's not limited. Animal classics can go amok in the state. But the cabbage classic, which is, you know, guessing the weight of the winning cabbage at the giant cabbage weigh-off at the Alaska State Fair in Palmer, is limited to be operated and administered by the Palmer Rotary Club. So I'm not sure why some classics are limited to certain organizations and some are not, but I could foresee that if you took a situation where the classic was limited to an organization and then you said everybody can do it, that it might take away from that organization that has traditionally hosted that event and that's what they're known for.
My follow-up. So it's my understanding then from everybody needs to have, again through the chair, a gaming permit, correct? I mean, in order to, if they choose to make any revenue off of this. So to your knowledge, since we have animal classics that are kind of, you know, everything goes, do you see any downside to just striking and is limited to the Mount Marathon and the Race to Alaska Classic and just kind of striking it so we're not back here next year when the Hooslia group decides to do something? And
right.
I'm just curious, sure. Sister, I'm trying to understand if we just made this permissible under mm-hmm. the gaming permit mm-hmm. that, because this certainly has got merit, and I mean, I'm in support of the ordinance. I'm just wondering how to avoid having to come back in front of us again for another House bill.
Sure. Through the chair, I guess from administering the program, I can't see a downside to opening it up, as long as, you know, it's well enough defined, which I think it is, that we can determine if someone is doing it or not under their permit. I think that's the important thing.
Well, this is certainly a follow-up through the chair. Certainly good news for classic fans around the state, and I appreciate your comment and observation.
Okay. And thank you. And I guess what I might suggest, Representative Birch, is rather than accepting the department's commitment, that we do a little bit of research before Friday and come up with whether or not it's something that would be universally workable, and then we can consider an amendment on Friday if you might want to follow up with a little bit of research on that. That would be helpful. I think we also have a question from... Pardon?
Oh, I just have a question.
Okay. We've got a few. I've got Representative Josephson, Representative Knopp, and Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, through the chair. Does the statute as it exists in Title V, does it require that the money go to some charitable purpose for all race classics or for any sort of classic? That's one question.
Through the chair, in order to conduct a classic, an organization must hold a gaming permit. And if you hold a gaming permit, you are required to donate what we refer to as net proceeds, but in the normal world, I would call it net income, to a mission or cause that is related to your organization, or it doesn't even have to be related to your organization. So yes, once the money has to be donated for a charitable reason within 1 year of receipt, according to the statute.
A follow-up.
And my second question is about, for example, the Nanana Ice Classic. People purchase tickets around the state to the extent that it reflects gambling. It's very much diffused throughout the public. This looks like a great idea. I guess I'm wondering about in a more insular community, say isolated and off the grid, if it could create some habit-forming and some, as patronizing as it sounds, some misspending of money.
Through the chair, so anyone that holds a gaming permit is required to report to us at least on an annual basis with respect to the revenues they generated, the expenses they incurred, and the net proceeds that they earned. And they're also required to itemize to us how those net proceeds are donated and to who. And then we can review that and verify that it's correct. Did I answer your question?
Well, I guess my concern would be, take for example a community like, I'd rather not say the community, but basically, I don't want to create habits out of wagering money. It's just not something I want to do. I don't think it's good generally. I'm not concerned about this instance. And should we be concerned if we just opened it up to any opportunity in any community?
Through the chair, I think there's that activity. It would be impermissible for anyone or any organization to conduct a race classic unless they obtained a charitable gaming permit through the state of Alaska.
But that's not, if you don't mind, that's not a difficult or onerous task, is it?
Well, there are a few requirements. Generally speaking, we only issue permits to municipalities or nonprofit type of organizations, and the organizations have had to be in existence for at least 3 years before they qualify for a permit. So there are quite a few requirements. I mean, I couldn't just form a nonprofit tomorrow and get a gaming permit.
Thank you.
Representative Josephson, I think for question maybe more is about the policy of whether or not charitable gaming is a good activity, and I think we as the legislators establish the policy. It's really up to the departments to administer that, so I would not think that they would have an opinion on the policy of whether or not certain types of gaming are good or bad.
I understand.
Moving forward, I think Representative Knopp had a question.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Mitchell, so I'm just touching a little bit on everybody's topics. I agree with Representative Birch in the sense that these are annual events and not sure that they really need to be going through this process to be conducted. And I understand Representative Josephson's concerns about gambling, but as you mentioned, because you have to have the gaming permit, the proceeds need to go to a nonprofit or something, a community purpose, so to speak. And because they are annual events, and you mentioned a few, Cabbage Classic, Mount Marathon, Nanana Ice Classic. Are there substantially more events that are held just annually like that? Are you aware of quite a few? I mean, I think my question is, ma'am, I'm trying to get there, I think what you've mentioned is pretty much addressed everybody's concerns as far as it being abused, and it would seem to me that since this is out there, there may be an opportunity to somewhat fix this, and I think that is my question. Is it reasonable based on what we've just talked about here?
Through the chair, are you asking if it's reasonable to open the race classic up to whoever qualifies for a gaming permit? Is that your question?
Well, I think I'm asking when they're just an annual event that happens once a year, and because of the criteria already having to be a, I'll say, a nonprofit with a gaming permit, yeah, is it reasonable that we should not be having to force Ketchikan community into doing what we're doing today? So, or any other community in the future for that reason, for that purpose. So do you see any other downsides to it?
Through the chair. Again, from administering the charitable gaming program, from what we do, I don't see a downside. But there are all kinds of classics out in the state that are limited to certain organizations. For example, there's a canned salmon classic that can only be administered by the Petersburg Chamber of Commerce. There's a goose classic that can only be administered by the Fairbanks Montessori Association or the Friends of Kramer's Field. There's a couple ice classics that we know about. We have a king salmon classic that can only be run by DIPAC. And so I point this out because those organizations appear to have the market on that type of a classic. Again, with respect to the gaming section, it wouldn't impact us one way or another in managing the program. I'm just unsure if it would impact those organizations that have been granted that special privilege.
And just follow up to the chair.
Follow up.
Chair. I was just looking to see if there was any other potential for abuses, and I'm not sure why the other events, I don't know if they're annual events or monthly or what they do. That was somewhat my question. I'm not sure why they're specific, but more to the point is if the Ketchikan Chamber wanted to host another event, you know, and if it was another annual event, I don't know what it is, canoe races, I don't care what you call it, but so they wouldn't have to come back and go through this process every single time, or any other chamber for that matter, or a non-profit. I do go to Mr. Joseph's concerns about being regular, routinely resulting in gambling, you know, so that's what I'm looking for, I guess. Is there a way to do it to ensure we don't get to what he was pointing at, you know, and still opening the door up a little bit more? I guess maybe it's a rhetorical question, but
through the chair, if I'm understanding you correctly, you're wondering if this opens the door to gambling?
No, I'm wondering about opening up the door to these organizations without creating a level of abuse. So I'm trying to open it up a little less regulation, restriction, and avoid any potential abuse, and that's what I'm looking for, is to identify that. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Through the chair, if we were to strike the verbiage in the race classic that says it's limited to organization and organization B, I'm not sure that it would open it up to abuse. I suppose, let's say, an organization in every town now could have a guessing game based on this race to Alaska, and people would be allowed to participate in the guessing game.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've got Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Thank you, through the chair. I'm wondering if maybe Mr. Burnett would be able to come forward and give us some history, if you're not able to, with regard to why we have 4 pages here in the sense of definitions with regard to ice classics and different gaming particulars that are used across the state. And my understanding was that it did have to do a little bit with the gambling aspect of different yearly events that they've done, like for the March of Dimes events and what have you. They used to have a Monte Carlo night, and then the state changed it, I believe, so that wasn't allowed due to a non-gambling type of legislation. So I'm just trying to get some history here just to kind of see why it is we have it like this. I know the gaming rules are pretty stringent. You can't just go in and apply and say, oh, good, I have a gaming licensure now. It's pretty strict, and I'm sure there are reasons why. I think it'd be good for the committee to hear part of that history, if you don't mind.
Thank you, for the Deputy record, Jerry Burdett, Deputy Commissioner,
you,
Department of Revenue, and through the chair to Representative Sullivan Leonard. I you know, I haven't been around through the whole history of this, and I've only been at the department for 13 years, so I can't probably go through all of it, but in Alaska, gambling is prohibited.
Right.
Pure and simple. So everything in the statute it's a list of those things that are allowed for charitable organizations who have a permit to be able to do. And to your Monte Carlo night question, used to be allowable to have Monte Carlo nights. In the legislature, there were concerns about having casinos in Alaska on tribal land, in Indian country, for example. Any type of gambling that is allowed anywhere in Alaska for any purpose, would it be allowable under the Indian gaming laws, I understand it, on Indian land? So if you allowed a Monte Carlo night where you can use playing cards, and using playing cards for anything in charitable gaming is prohibited for any purpose, because then an organization who qualified under the Indian Gaming Act would be able to use those in a casino, and people did not want to have casinos in Alaska of any type at the time when the legislature outlawed that. There's other examples. We tax gambling on cruise ships. Cruise ships, under federal law, they're allowed to conduct gambling activities in state waters in Alaska. Our statute, which taxes the proceeds from gambling on cruise ships, specifies that we're taxing an unlawful activity. I'm not going to quote exactly what it says, but it's very clear that it is not legal under Alaska state law to conduct any gambling activities. So these are, that whole list are specific exemptions for charitable organizations that have been allowed by the legislature over the years.
Thank you, Mr. Burnett. Follow-up?
Follow-up, sir. Thank you, and that's truly what I wanted, was the little bit of history there, because I know in my neck of the woods with the Alaska State Fair, we've got the gerbil thing that works through the Lions Club. We've got the Cabbage Classic, and so I think we may have been the one that started this long list of different classics. But truly, I don't think it's like a habit-forming type thing like Representative Josephson was alluding to. Truly, a lot of the funds that are done through these gaming pieces are really very beneficial for a lot of smaller chamber of commerces and other nonprofit groups that may not normally have a chance to get a little bit of funding to help support their cause. So anyway, thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me to ask a few questions, and thank you, Mr. Burnett. Thank you.
Thank you, and we've got a question from Representative Wool.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I might have more than one. I'm just warning you, but fascinating topic, actually. I didn't know much about charitable gaming. Is there any limit on how many gaming permits there are, or any nonprofit can apply for one?
So any nonprofit or municipal, through the chair, pardon me. So any nonprofit organization that meets the minimum requirements may apply for and may be granted a charitable gaming permit. So there's not a cap on the number of permits that we would issue.
Follow up through the chair. Could you foresee any kind of governing body other than the legislature that could handle, say, the request for more classics in the future, so that another chamber of commerce doesn't have to come down here and go through the whole legislative process down here, but some other process within your department or that could sort of be a gateway, so that, for example, the idea of many chambers of commerces jumping in on this one race, I think wouldn't hurt the Ketchikan. I mean, would hurt the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce, much like the Nanana Ice Classic. People buy those tickets from all around the state. So if another chamber tried to jump in on it, or suddenly if there was a Chena River Ice Classic, a Tanana River Ice Classic, all these ice classics, suddenly the initial one would lose a lot of its vitality, and I think that would hurt them.
Through the chair, Representative Wohl, again, Jerry Burnett, Deputy Commissioner. There have been discussions in the past and actually legislation proposed to set up a gaming commission. I don't remember when the last time that was done. For the department to do it, you either have to give discretion to the Commissioner of Revenue, or we would have to do it through a regulation process. A regulation process would be probably as cumbersome as a legislative process in many ways, and sometimes slower. But yes, there are other ways of doing it, and it's not a responsibility that I would particularly like to have, or like someone in the department to have to have, because it does create some, you know, we're also regulating the activities. So
thank you.
Follow up?
No, that's good. Thank you.
Okay, question from Representative Birch.
Just kind of through the chair, Deputy Commissioner, on the we discussed earlier about just getting rid of the limitations. So in other words, a race class by somebody with a gaming permit would be permissible. Do you see a downside to that? And not having you sitting in judgment, or us, or anybody else for that matter, just the gaming permit being the driver.
Through the chair to Representative Birch, I think Ms. Mitchell alluded to the fact that we need a pretty tight definition of what's allowable in the statute if we do that. And otherwise, from our standpoint, from a regulatory standpoint, it doesn't really matter to us. So we just need to have a very clear definition of what's allowed and what's not allowed within it.
And again, follow up through the chair. I absolutely support what the intent of what we're doing here. I'm just trying to figure out how to make it easier down the road. And as an example, how on the Animal Classic, is it limited to gerbils or hamsters, or can you have a ferret or a vole involved? Through the chair.
Through the chair to Representative Birch. I think we have a catch-all: rat, hamster, gerbil, or other rodent.
That opens the door then, doesn't it?
Great. Thank you.
It couldn't be a favorite.
Thank you, Representative Birch. I think Representative Wohl had a question. Actually, Representative Ortiz has a comment.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I think I want to make sure that I understand what I think I understand. In order to make the kind of change to this particular bill that Representative Birch suggested, the potential downside to that would not fall in your particular area, but the potential downside would be potentially to dilute the revenues, things like that, from the individuals who have these, or these groups that already have the rights to this particular race. That's the downside. It would be the downside of diluting potential benefits for people who already have these rights. Is that correct?
Through the chair to Representative Ortiz, your assessment is reasonable. Right now, one organization gets the glory and their name is associated with this certain type of classic.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We've got another comment from Representative Wohl. Question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess for a state that does not allow gambling or gaming, it sounds like there are a lot of exceptions in the sort of rodent area or the cabbage or different ice melting things. And pull tabs haven't even come up yet, and that's, I imagine, you're shaking your head. Yeah, that's a big one, and that's a whole other area. So maybe a gaming commission, if we continue along this road, might not be a bad idea if it's, of course, zero fiscal note. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but
through the chair to Representative Wohl, I really don't have any thoughts on that. I think this is just the way the legislature has done this historically, which is having a statutory list of permitted activities which can only be operated by charitable organizations has been workable for the state of Alaska.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Deputy Commissioner Burnett or Ms. Mitchell? Looks like we have no more questions for you. Thank you. I don't see anyone signed up, but I'm going to go ahead and open up public testimony. And I'm going to invite anyone either online or in the room to step forward and provide public testimony. I'm seeing no one raise their hand, and I'm hearing no one over the phone. What I'm going to do is go ahead and leave public testimony open. We'll take some of these questions in for a little bit of research, and we will expect to see the bill back before us on Friday. It looks like Representative Birch has a comment.
Just a question of process. Who writes the amendment? Is our committee? And it's Mr. Chairman. I'm interested in advancing an amendment that would basically preclude any additional classic or community interested in doing some sort of a classic fundraiser having to come before this body again. And I've got a pretty good idea what the amendment
would look like. Representative Birch, what I would suggest is that you take your thought to the Division of Legal Services, okay. Legislative Legal, and place that before them. One of the comments that was made, and I do think it might become an issue when they start reaching into the back past and finding research, is that we have a no gambling, but we provide exceptions, and the statute provides the exceptions. And I do think that there might be some legal reason for having to clearly identify, but that would be something that we'd be interested in hearing back from on Friday. So I would say contact legal services and have them draft up an amendment for you. You're welcome to work with my office as well if questions come up, and then we'll see the bill back here on Friday. So without anything before or anything else to come before the committee, I will adjourn House Labor and Commerce on, let's see, what is today? The January 30th at 4:17 p.m. Thank you.